our Father, that ought to humble us to think of God as our Father. We pray, our Heavenly Father, some will say Father God, but even the very beginning of our prayer, sometimes we need to just really give that serious thought that He is our Father. A father is a man in relation to his child or children. It is a word that speaks of a relationship, or it ought to. Throughout the Scripture, God is portrayed as a father. It is a title that is attributed to Him in a few different ways. He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which speaks of a relationship. He is the Father of Adam in respect to creation, not so much in a relationship way, but simply in respect to creation. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, He is referred to as the Father of mercies. That is, mercy comes from Him. And then, of course, He is the Father of the redeemed. And in this message, we want to consider and focus upon Him as Father in that last respect, the Father of the redeemed, or the Father of the saved. At times, the Word of God uses the imagery of a father without the father, without the word father being present. Notice in Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Okay, that makes him the father. Let my son go. So the teaching is there without the usage of the word father. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 31, notice, the Lord thy God bear thee as a man doth bear his son. Again, he was acting as a father would act toward his son. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Several other places in Deuteronomy, but we'll, for time's sake, not go there. In Psalm 103 and verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We also see the same in Malachi and the book of Hosea. Now, for our text tonight, we'd like to turn to the Sermon on the Mount as recorded by Matthew, which is Matthew chapter 5, verse, chapters 5 through 7. It is a sermon preached by Jesus Christ. The subject is kingdom living upon earth. And a significant factor in that is that God is our Father. I want to look, want to read 14 different verses that we want to take our thoughts from. These verses, again, in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. In verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. In verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Verse 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. Verse 8, But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then in Matthew 7, verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Each one of those verses mentions God as our Father. Now, there are several observations that we want to make from these verses. First of all, God is referred to as Father. We read 14 verses. And in those 14 verses, 16 times, God is referred to as Father. Two of the verses, the name appears twice. So it gives us 16 references to God as Father. Now, a father is an authoritative position. May not be so today, it should be, but throughout Scripture, it is an authoritative position. By God's divine decree, it is authoritative position. So when God is seen as Father, it puts him in an authoritative position. It is also a position of reverence. The father was to be reverenced. He was to be reverenced by the wife. He was to be reverenced by the children. It is a metaphor that speaks, of course, of his love. When we speak of God as a father, it speaks of his love. It speaks of his care. It speaks of his thoughtfulness, his willingness, his availability. So 16 times here in the Sermon on the Mount, he is referred to as Father. There is also a personal connection and relationship. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, 16 times he is viewed as the Father of the redeemed. In each of those mentions, all 16, you find pronouns. you find the pronoun your, thy, and our. Your Father, thy Father, our Father. Those pronouns are used linking us to Him. It links us to Him by way of relationship. Again, that's grace. That's the mercy of God. The pronouns in relation to Him as Father declares that we are His children. If He is my Father, then I am His child. If He is our Father, then we are His children. Male and female, God created them. So we are His children. That means we are His sons and we are His daughters. Male and female, the sons and daughters of God. Now, a son or a daughter speaks of one who is related to a particular person in a way that others are not. In this case, with God as our Father. We are the sons and daughters of God. That means we are related to God in a way that some others are not, nor will they ever be. So this is a very special relationship. God's promise to Solomon, 2 Samuel 7, verse 14, He said, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. I will be his father. Now you could just stop there and you can assume that that makes him the son. But God emphasizes this. I will be his father and he shall be my son. In 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 6, for I have chosen him to be my son and I will be his father. So you see there's a relationship in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. So these statements of promise speak of a two-way connection, a two-way relationship, father and child, father and child. So when we refer to God as our Father, it implies that there is a relationship that exists between God and us. The relationship of a father and a child. We read in 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So when you mention God as Father, the implication is that He loves us. And it is a love that is unlike any other love. 1 John 3, verse 2, we read, now are we the sons of God. This is not something that you and I that are saved have to wait for in heaven. Now, right this moment, we are the sons of God. That means right now, He is my Father. Right now, I am His child. Father and child. So when we refer to Him as our Father, it means that we stand in a certain position in relationship to Him. And He stands in a certain position in relationship to us. Again, it is a two-way connection, a two-way relationship. We are the sons and daughters of God. That puts us in a very unique relationship. A child of God. That puts us in a very unique and separate relationship with God. We have a relationship with God that is the result of a miracle of His doing. We were not physically born the sons and the daughters of God. We were spiritually born, which is a miracle of grace, as the sons and daughters of God. So this is a very special relationship. It means that we have an association, a contact with God that others do not have. It means that we have a knowledge of Him. We know Him in a way that many others do not. We know Him as a father. You may know a man, and you may know a lot about him, but you don't know him as your father. You have one earthly father. But and so it is, there are people who know some things about God, but they don't know him as their father. It's a position of knowledge. It's a position that makes us familiar with Him. It is a position of friendship with God that those outside of the family of God do not have. That He is our Father, not only is it a special relationship, it means that we have a special experience of Him. As His child, we can enjoy and we can experience who He is in a way that others cannot. What a privilege to experience who God is. And that's our experience, that should be our experience every day. As His child, we can experience fellowship with Him. We can talk with Him in a way that others cannot. It makes us the special objects of His sustenance. Now we learn here in the Sermon on the Mount that God causes the sun to rise upon the wicked and the just. But we also learn in the Sermon on the Mount that God has a special care for His children. So to be a child of God means that we are the objects of His special sustenance. Again, notice verse 32 of chapter 6. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And you read on, He supplies that need. In Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? What he's saying there is if your son comes and asks you for a piece of bread, obviously, he's hungry. You're not going to give him that which is worthless to him, a stone. So it is with God. We're the special objects of His sustenance. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Is he going to give him that which is going to harm him? As His child, it is our privilege to be the special object of His care. We are the special objects of His education and His guidance, just as a child would be related to their father. It puts us under the loving correction of God. Hebrews 12, verse 7 says, God dealeth with you as with sons. And he's talking about discipline. He's talking about correction. And God dealeth with you as with sons, as a father would deal with a son or his child. God deals with us. Thanks be to God that God deals with us as his children and not as his enemies. We were his enemies, but we've been adopted into the family of God. We've been made a child of God. And now God deals with us as his children. And he has, being the father, he has the right to deal with his children. It is our privilege to be trained of God. We are his children. He's the father. He trains us. He does so in many ways. We are the recipients of his consolation. We have access to God. Matthew 6, verse 6 says, pray to thy father. It means we have access to our father. What a blessing to have access to God. We don't have access to a lot of people. Most people we don't have access to. But we have access to God. Not only do we have access to him, we are welcomed by him because he's our father. Notice again, Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And him that knocketh it shall be opened. What's he saying? We're welcomed by God. Not only do we have access to God, he welcomes us. He is our Father. In addition to all of this, we have absolute assurance that we are the children of God. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have absolute assurance that he is my Father, that I am his son, or his daughter. Absolute assurance. We're blessed. And again we read, your father, thy father, our father. Now as you read through the Sermon on the Mount, we see also there are some characteristics ascribed to him. Again, 16 times, our Father, your Father, thy Father. 16 times he is said to be in heaven. He is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16, Matthew 5, verse 45, 48, 6:1, 6:9, 7:11. And then in chapter 6, verse 26, he is referred to as our Heavenly Father. That makes him different than our earthly father. That he is in heaven and that he is our Heavenly Father means that he is exalted above all. It means that this is a very special relationship. In fact, we read in Matthew 6, verse 9, in the context of him as a father, hallowed be thy name. That is, his name is holy. His name is sacred. He is sanctified. He is set apart. This is a special relationship. He is our Father. He is not a common Father. He is a heavenly Father. He is in heaven. He is above all. There is nothing common about him. There is nothing ordinary about him. He's eternal. He's eternal. Most of us, most of us, our earthly fathers are no longer with us on this earth. They have passed on. Not so with our Heavenly Father. He is eternal. Our earthly fathers, as good as they were all very limited. They were limited in their knowledge, they were limited in their wisdom, they were limited in their ability. That's not a criticism, that's a fact. They were limited. Our Heavenly Father is infinite. He is infinite. And we hear Him say in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, "The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." That is, there's a vastness, there's an extensiveness and an enormity about our Heavenly Father, about God as our Father. There's a grandeur about Him that is unmatched. There's a magnificence about Him that is awe-inspiring. There is a majesty about Him. And He is our Father. He is our Father. He's sovereign. You know, children will ask, or sometimes children are asked, "What does your Father do?" You can't even go into all the details of what our Heavenly Father does. He rules the earth. He rules the universe. He owns everything. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. And He's our Father. We're blessed. We're blessed. He's ever faithful. There have been many earthly fathers who have been unfaithful. Unfaithful to their spouses, unfaithful to their children. There have been many earthly fathers that have left their families. But God is an always faithful Father. He's never, ever been unfaithful. He's all-sufficient. He is everything I need, and He has everything that I need. He's unchanging. Our earthly fathers, they can get sick. They can get Alzheimer's. But He's unchanging. He's unchanging. He's the same as He always was. And He's our Father. We read in the Sermon on the Mount that He's in control. Again, in chapter 5, verse 45, He makes the sun rise. He's in control. Matthew 5, verse 48, He's perfect. He's perfect. That cannot be said of any earthly father. It can only be said of our Heavenly Father. He's perfect. We that are fathers or parents can look back at things in our children's life and perhaps say, you know, if I had that to do over again, I would do it a little differently. God never says that. He's perfect. He's perfect. He does that which is perfect every single time. He is a rewarder. We see in chapter 6, verse 1, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18 that He will reward thee openly. Your Father which is in secret will reward thee openly. If God rewards us, that's grace. That's mercy. It's not due to us, because anything God rewards us for, He enabled us to do. Had He not enabled us to do it, we would have never done it. So that He rewards us is grace and mercy. He is aware of our needs. No earthly parent is perfectly aware of their children's needs. but he is aware of our needs. Matthew 6, verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He knows. He knows everything that we need. We don't even know everything we need, but he does. Verse 32 again. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So he's aware of our needs. He forgives. Matthew 6, verse 14. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. He forgives us over and over. His love is unconditional. That's the only kind of love God can have for a sinner, is unconditional love. He forgives. He cares. Matthew 6, verse 26, Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in a barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He cares. He cares about every aspect of our being. He's giving. We see that in Matthew 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So he gives. All of this tells us that he is mindful. He is mindful of us. He's our Father. He's kind. He's good. He's patient. He's patient. He's sensitive to us as his children. Again, we have never fully grasped the simple blessing of God is my Father. God is my Father. When we were small, real small, we thought Dad can fix everything. Dad can make anything okay. As we got older, we realized that's not true. But we do have a Heavenly Father, and he can. He can make everything okay. He can mend everything. He is our Father. Now, we also see there is responsibility of you and I as his children. In Matthew 5, verse 16, we are to function in relation to him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We're to do right. We're to do what is right. And the reason we're to do that is because it glorifies God, our Father. Because it draws attention to our Father. It honors our Father. It exalts our Father. We ought to always be interested in honoring God as our Father. Exalting God as our Father. In Matthew 5, verse 45, he says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He's talking about praying for those who use you, praying for those who persecute you, loving those who are your enemies. What he's telling us is the example of our Father is to govern our attitude toward our enemies. The example of our Father. He causes the sun to rise upon the evil. There are men that curse God to his face, and God causes the sun to rise on their abode the very next day. We're to follow his example. We're to simply treat others, have the same attitude toward our enemies, following the example of our Father. In Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, we are to prefer His approval to the approval of man. And in those first four verses of chapter 6, he's rebuking them for doing their alms before men to be seen of them. And he talks about praying, he talks about fasting. He's saying, do not be concerned with the approval of men your Father sees. In other words, we as His children are to prefer His approval over the approval of anyone else. He is our Father. When we were growing up, it didn't much matter if the neighbor two blocks over was pleased with us if Dad wasn't. It didn't much matter. You're much better off getting Dad's approval than the neighbor's approval. And so it is with you and I. We are to seek the approval of our Father, not our relatives, not our employers, not our friends, but we seek the approval of our Father. We are to prefer His approval over all else. Matthew 6, verse 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. We are to come to Him. We are to come to Him with confidence. Confidence in Him that He will do what is right. Verse 8 of chapter 6, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. We're to be different from others. We're the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. Certainly there ought to be a difference between the sons and daughters of God. There ought to be a difference between them and the sons and daughters of Satan. Certainly there should be a manifest difference in our lives. And lastly, in verse 9, hallowed be thy name. We are to recognize Him as set apart from all others. You know, there's been men who have preached and who have written books on the subject of prayer, and they will make the statement, you talk with God just as you would talk to anyone else on the street. I believe that is very erroneous and blasphemous. I don't believe you find that anywhere in Scripture. I find just the opposite. Hallowed be thy name. You don't talk to Him like you would anyone else because He is not like anyone else. For that, we are thankful. But we are to recognize Him as set apart from all others. Don't put anybody on the same platform as God. Don't put anything on the same platform as God. God is my Father. That means I am His child. What a blessing. A blessing that we ought to enjoy right now. Because it's true. Right now. God is my Father, I am His child, and I am destined for glory. I am destined to be with Him for all eternity. But until then, we are to live in the enjoyment of our Heavenly Father. Oh, how so often we don't live in the enjoyment of the blessings of God. We don't live in the enjoyment of the relationship that is ours. He is the Father. We are His sons. And we are His daughters. Also, we need to be careful how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because why? Because they are His sons and daughters. We need to be careful how we treat the sons and the daughters of God. He has a special regard for them. We can disagree, just like we can disagree with our siblings. But you better be careful how you treat a child of God. So how blessed we are that God is our Father. We have access to Him. We ought to enjoy that access every single day. We can talk with Him every single day. We ought to take advantage of such opportunity. The talk with our Heavenly Father. To spend time with our Heavenly Father. So the next time we pray and we say, "Our Heavenly Father," think about that. Think about what that means. Think about the privilege that is yours simply because He is your Father. And if you are a son or daughter of God, it's all by grace. We didn't have a thing to do with it. It's all by His grace. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.